Boobies on Up discussion episode chronicle. What if someone you never met, someone you never saw, someone you never knew was the only someone for you? I am Dave, joined by my co-host Ryan.
I was waiting for
you. Don't want any adjectives that I associate with chronicle to describe you, so I had to stop for a second.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm the co-host.
This is Movies on Up. We're going to be talking about the movie Chronicle here in a second. What if someone you never met, someone you never saw, someone you never knew was the only someone for you? That is our tagline for this episode. If you hit us up with what that tagline is from at Twitter at Movies on Up, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, MoviesOnUp.com, or MoviesOnUp@gmail.com. You will win our tagline contest for this week.
If we pick you. There is a certain amount of luck involved in it, too, not just your Google search ability.
So, Ryan, we watched Chronicle this week.
Yeah, we did.
You ready to talk about it?
I think there's something that we generally do before we get it right into the discussion, but I can't remember what it is.
I feel like it's time for a bonus list. These are the top 7 superhero movies not based on a comic book. It's 7 because I couldn't narrow it down to 5. And in reality, this should be its own separate episode.
It could be.
But I'm ruining that. Number 7, Griff the Invisible, Australian movie starring Ryan Kwanten. Number 6, Sky High. Looked dumb, actually pretty good superhero movie. Number 5, Paper Man starring Ryan Reynolds. Really good take on depression. Number 4, Dark Man. Just awesome. Number 3, Super. Number 2, The Incredibles. Number 1, Unbreakable.
How did Blank Man not make this list?
Have you seen Blank Man?
Yes. That's why I'm asking how it didn't make the list.
You notice what else didn't make this list? Chronicle.
I figured you left it off the list because we are going to be discussing it. It would be kind of silly to put it on the list. That's really just a vehicle to talk about other movies briefly.
We'd both seen it before.
Yes.
We both rewatched it recently. Yes. I'll admit, the first time I watched it, I kind of zoned out because I didn't like it, so I didn't pay that close of attention about halfway through. This time, I paid full attention, so I had plenty to talk about. I liked it even less on the second viewing.
Were you mad that you had to rewatch it? So you
I
said,
was very mad.
All right, Chronicle, I'm gonna take this out. I'm going to take my pound of flesh out of you.
I mean, it sets it up. I don't like found footage. Unless it's done well. And in order to be done well, it has to make sense why it's found footage.
This is not a found footage movie. I mean,
it's called found footage. The style has come to be known as found footage.
Sure.
But it's not technically found footage.
No, nobody ever, unless there's something we don't know about because it's not said in the plot, but nobody ever finds the footage.
Like the godfather of them, Blair Witch Project.
Well, we can argue.
That made sense why they were filming the whole time.
Sure.
Even the first Paranormal Activity made sense why they were filming the whole time. There was no reason for this to be found footage movie.
They did a decent enough job setting up why started filming things.
They did not do a decent enough job. Okay, so his dad's angry. His dad's mad. But why are you filming? I bought a camera, he just tells his dad, who's banging on his door that's locked, I bought a camera and I'm filming everything from here on out. That's the whole setup.
That's the whole setup. Why is he doing that? Why is he filming everything? Because he thinks that his dad's not going to beat him up if he's holding a camera.
But his dad beats him up a couple times and he does nothing about it until later.
The point was to have this camera so that if his dad did something, you know, he would have proof rather than just bruises or whatever.
Is his dad going to beat him when he's in third period chemistry?
Right. When he takes it to school, now that's a little something different. And, you know, they kind of try and talk about that in the car. Like, you know, is this really just a separation for you or what is the deal? But, I mean, really, it maybe makes less sense up until the point where, spoiler alert, they get their superpowers. And then it makes sense that you would have a camera. You'd want to document kind of the natural progression of your skills.
Maybe.
That's pretty sweet. I would want to have that on tape.
But not at all times. Like, that's what... Okay, you're at school, and you're sitting in the bleachers filming the cheerleaders. That I can get behind. That makes sense. But
teen voyeurism.
Any other time, why are you just walking through the hallway? And not to mention, this camera, it's like a Betamax camera.
I love that. Like, the movie tries to set him up as such... I don't want to say a loser... but you know, really just kind of can't catch a break. And having to walk around school with this like 1992 action news camera is awesome because he looks so lame with it. That fits with his character.
And then somebody brings up, why are you filming? And the line is, it serves a purpose. Shut up. No, it doesn't. You're alien. Like, you're already mad that you don't have friends. This character, he's not like a loner that just wants to do his own things. Just nobody likes him. That's all it is. He wants to be liked. But yet you're going to take this camera to school and it caused more problems than it was worth.
Yeah, it sure did, especially at the beginning when the bullies beat him up and they tried to wreck his camera.
You know how you avoid getting beat up for taking a camera to school?
Don't take a camera to school.
Don't take a camera to school.
I understand, but
it's a lazy way to show him at school. Because you set up the character wants friends. He really does. He's not just a
But he kid. Doesn't know how to get them because he doesn't have any social skills, which
That's
is also
not gonna help.
That's not gonna help, but if you don't really know how to interact, which he didn't. Because even before the camera, you know, he mentioned his cousin said, you know, you were not always the easiest guy to be around. You were hostile, and he kind of was. He's kind of a nutcase. But I mean, if you don't know how to act, I guess you don't know that this is weird. Though, I mean, the point is, it's to set up why they have the camera later, because he has been recording things.
Yeah, but you set it up like, oh, he's filming in case his dad beats him.
Yeah.
Why are you filming at school like that? But you brought up the cousin. At the beginning of the movie, his cousin picks him up to go to school.
Right.
Later in the movie, the dad says something about the cousin. So it's not like he just started. So the cousin's been picking him up for school.
Right.
I want to touch on that later. I'm prefacing that. Like,
okay.
It's set up at the beginning of the movie that his cousin picks him up and they go to school together every day. That's established. His cousin, like, come to this party with me.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to come to the party. Come to the party with me. So he like convinces him to come to this party with him, and then the second they walk in, you're not gonna hang him out around me the whole time. Go do your own thing. Why are you bringing him to the party if you're just gonna ditch him right when you get there? I realize you want him to have friends, but you don't even like him. Why are you just throwing him to the wolves there? Plus, he's got the stupid camera.
Yeah, and then maybe that's why. Like, I guess there's probably a limit to, you know, the nice cousin routine where, yeah, I'll try and get him out of the house because he needs it. Maybe he wasn't 100% sure he was going to bring the camera. Maybe he thought at some point...
He gets in the car and he's got the camera. You could change your mind.
Oh, did you say get out of the car?
Yes. How is that any different? How is, I didn't want you to bring the camera, get out of the car, any different than getting all the way to the party and saying, we're not going to hang out?
Because at least now he's there. Maybe something good will happen. Something good doesn't really happen.
Okay, so he gets his cousin. It's not like his cousin begged him to take him to the party. Like the cousin convinced him to go to the party, and then tries to ditch him. And then another girl who's just filming everything, and her setup is brilliant. Her setup for why are you filming everything? It's for my blog. Shut up! You're making it so hard not to swear on this show right now because I just want to yell so many things at that. Who wrote it? Max Landis.
Max, and I think Trank wrote the story too. I don't think he wrote the screenplay.
Shut up! Why are you filming everything? Oh, it's for my blog. Oh, you're a 16, 17-year-old girl that films everything for your blog. Who's reading this?
It's obviously 16, 17-year-olds. The cousin was reading it.
And then they go to the cousin, the one that said to the loser cousin, hey, come to this party with me. And then they get to the party, and he says, oh, we're not hanging out here. Then he's talking to the girl. It's like, oh, this party's lame. And then gives like a philosophical speech about why he doesn't like partying. Why are you even there? Why are you going to this party? And let alone dragging someone. It just made no sense.
I think it's the typical kind of... Everybody in this movie had their own role. As in, Steve, this is the popular kid. You know, it's the captain of the football team. Everybody likes him. He's the popular one. You've got the kid that's obviously not popular. And then the kid that is trying so hard not to be cool, trying hard to look like he's not trying, and that's your philosophical answer on why partying's stupid. Obviously, he wants to party. He likes because he goes to the party after the talent show. I mean, he likes it, but he wants...
That's a completely different
scenario. He wants the girl to think that he's cool.
And here's a different... This is another thing we'll touch on later. him giving that philosophical explanation to why the party's lame. This, we're about 7 to 10 minutes into the movie by now. That's his second philosophical like diatribe. Like that's his second quoting philosophy, right, and being super smart. Spoiler alert, that's the last time you hear him talk anything about philosophy. It went Stephen King there at the beginning where you're selling that part about the character so strong, and then you never go back to it.
You know what?
And you know what? You get magic powers. Yeah, there's no reason to talk about
that's
philosophy.
That's what I was going
to
say.
There's no way to look at philosophically think about what you have. No, he never goes back to it.
I'd stop doing a lot of things if I could activate a leaf blower and see some girls' underpants. I mean, my hobbies would essentially cease, and I would just be the world's best at telekinesis. With lawn equipment.
Anyway, so he's at this party with his giant camera. He meets this girl who, that part of dialogue was pointless. We'll get back to her because she shows
I
up
hope
later
so, yeah.
for no reason. So it's just causing more trouble than it's worth. He gets yelled at for filming a girl dancing. And then he's just outside sitting in the yard crying with the camera running.
I probably would have turned the camera off to cry.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that's just me. But I guess I will give him credit for being, you know, real. If you were, you know, you're filming this because this is life and this is real, you can't edit that out.
But at no point was that set up that he's just filming life. Because if it were set up as like,
I'm saying this with my tongue firmly in my cheek.
Like, if he were saying it as, if the setup were, you know, he wanted to film in case his dad shot, but he's also like an aspiring filmmaker or something, or he just wants to document life. If you establish any of that, then him filming him crying makes sense.
Maybe he didn't know how to turn the camera off. That's why I figured, well, I might as well take it with me to school because the damn thing's going to run all day.
But it's so big. It was causing more trouble. It caused trouble at school that day and then at the party.
I liked that it was so big. I thought it perfectly. And his family doesn't have any money. So how would he afford, you know, the camera that they end up getting?
So he's out there crying. And all of a sudden, the popular kid, who he's never really talked to, comes out.
But apparently is friends with the cousin.
Apparently, what the cousin sent him to get him. Like, popular kids are, if you don't know anybody and all of a sudden the most popular kid in school is coming to you saying like, oh, your cousin wants you to come back here with me. Are you going to trust him that much? You don't know him. Why wouldn't your cousin just come get you? Why would your cousin send somebody? I mean, it turns out he really did send him, but why wouldn't the cousin just, hey, Steve, hang out here. I'm going to go get my cousin.
You know, the weird guy with the
1980s
action
camera. Because that
makes
a lot more sense than, hey, go hunt down my weird cousin that's probably filming himself crying by now, and then convince him that I sent you, that you're not going to prank him, and then bring him out to this big hole.
Yeah, that had Carrie written all over it. Like, yeah, exactly. Come on out with the rest of the popular guys. I think if it were me, I think I'd have been like, hey, why don't you go get that hot blonde with the camera? That's, I mean, maybe if you're the cousin, you want to, you know, check on your boy, whatever. But if I was Steve, I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. I could either get the weird kid with the old camera that is recording on Betamax or High 8, whatever it is, or I can get the hot chick with the digital cam. I'm getting the hot chick with the digital cam.
I mean, the only thing that came out of it is you did meet Steve. That's the first we see in person. Like, you see him on posters and stuff, and I think they walk by him at the school, but that's the first, like, you actually see him. And in the whole movie, Michael B. Jordan's the only one that feels real.
The kid's mom, I thought, was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm talking of the main
of
core
the three
actors. Like, that he was just so good, and he was on a different level because he just felt like watching a high school kid.
Yeah.
Like he really did, well, because
I mean, really, he had the best shot at it because it's just like, hey, play the popular. There was nothing. There was no negative parts to him. You know what I mean?
And that's what I liked about it, is it wasn't, his character was okay because it wasn't the stereotypical jock,
right,
popular guy.
Who's also somewhat of a jerk. No, he was just a good dude.
He was a good dude. Right. And I like the politics angle. Like him, he even has a line in there somewhere, mm-hmm, saying like, that's
why I'm
going
faces
into politics.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because he does recognize, hey, you're in my homeroom class from 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And he says, like, I like that it's set up as like, oh, he's a future politician who's also very popular. I thought Michael B. Jordan was really good in this movie.
Yeah.
Underused.
Sure.
But really good. So they get to the hole.
Which is actually a hole in the ground.
A hole in the ground.
Yeah.
That Michael B. Jordan just jumps down. Just goes in.
Without any kind of thought as to how deep it is, how the hell they're going to get out. That's my thought.
Yeah, just jumps down there.
But I do like the almost throwaway line after the cousin jumps down, like, you're my ride. Like, yeah. You can't do that.
And so they all go. So they all go. They have the camera. They see a rock, a glowing rock. This is where I got confused. I was trying to pay attention, but I think it just gets lost. Like, I don't understand. Okay, the camera starts screwing up. At some point, the cousin says, oh, I'll buy you a new one. Why did he say he was going to buy him a new camera? It got sloppy down there. Like, it got really sloppy.
And that's, I guess, when the camera starts screwing up, if the camera is your way into the movie, there are going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to get everything. Full disclosure, when I watched it the second time, this is where the disc started to skip. So, like, right after they fell in the hole, I kind of lost everything up until Michael B. Jordan's, like, touching the thing. So I missed probably, like, the minute talking about right here. But
I just remember hearing the line, like, oh, I'll buy you a new one. But I kind of missed what happened there. And then everything just goes black.
Right.
And then they're out. And it's, like, the next day.
Yeah, that's never really explained, like, how it happens.
You don't know how they get out. It's, like, the next day he's already got the new camera. So his cousin just has $600 laying around that he's willing to just buy his camera for his cousin that he doesn't like.
I think he does like him. At that point, I still do think he does like him. It's just, it's one of those things that
$600 for a 17-year-old kid to just spend on this cousin.
I'm sure it wasn't his money. Ask his parents for it. I mean, if you're 16, do you have any money of your own? Hell no.
But that just... I just got so confused because you see the new camera and it's like, wait, how'd they get out of the hole? How'd they get that new camera? And there's that one line that says, oh, I'll buy you a new one. So that's it? Like, that's... it just felt sloppy. It felt rushed for being such a big part of it.
There again, though, if the movie is told through the camera, if that camera did get wrecked, I mean, there's no way to tell that story until they have the new camera. And then if they were like, oh, just to recap, like, this is how we got out of the hole. And, you know,
no.
Here's us. Remember when we went to Best Buy and bought your new camera? That was awesome, right?
Why do that when you could sit around in the middle of the living room and play with Legos?
Think about
it, though. 17-year-old kids with magic powers are playing with Legos.
But that kind of stuff I liked, because that shows, like, what would you do if you were 17 and you were...
Not play with Legos!
But they did everything you would do. And keep in mind, it's a PG-13 movie. So, I mean, they did the baseball thing. I don't think I would have used a baseball for that test. You know what I mean?
Racquetball, like, maybe.
Yeah, like tennis ball. Anything, you could have got the point, but there'd been no way I'd have let somebody throw a baseball at my face. But... I mean, I liked the fact that they did, you know, Legos for fine motor control. And it was just like, you know, it's stuff you have at your house. They didn't go out and get something to test their new powers. It was just like, well, let's see if we can do this. Let's see if we can do that. It was a lot of, I don't know what we can do, so let's just try it and see what happens. Like the stabbing each other with a fork. Just stuff you might do if you were a dumb kid that all of a sudden had magical powers that you weren't sure really what they were, what the limits to them were, or necessarily even how you really got them.
And if you don't have any of those questions, you don't want to keep it conspicuous and you don't want to raise questions. So you're going to go out to stores and have weird stuff happen and then be the kids giggling and running around. Like,
although, I mean, see... How is anybody going to, the cart that just, like, takes off by itself? I mean, even if you are laughing and pointing, how's anybody going to pin that on you? Because it's so weird.
They were so suspicious with the woman's car.
Yes, they were suspicious with the woman's car. But even if you saw that, if you saw...
But they're bringing attention to themselves, yes, is my point.
But if you watched Michael B. Jordan stand there, stare at the car, and the car just move, your first thought would not be like, oh, clearly he has... the power to move things with his brain. You know what I mean? Like, I think you'd have some other questions.
Plus, they're filming everywhere.
Yeah, I would be.
I mean, you're in a store.
Yeah.
Filming. Like,
a lot of stores don't like that.
That brings attention already. Now sure. You're giggling and running when weird stuff has happened. Security is going to be called. Something.
Maybe. I mean, maybe the security was light in the toy store. I don't know.
Then it starts happening. Like, they're getting better with their powers. You see Dane DeHaan. I've realized we've been calling him both the cousin
So, well, no, I've been referring to the cousin as the cousin. Andy, I think, is
I don't know
Dane
their names.
DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan was the main kid.
Yeah.
So they're driving. There's somebody behind them.
Except for Alex B. Jordan, who will either use his name. Yeah. Or I was looking at.
I know Steve.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan and Steve. And I've gone
yeah,
back.
Yeah. We've used his names. I was looking at the kid that was the cousin is named Alex, is Matt in the movie. It was Andy, Matt, and Steve.
Yeah. But Dane DeHaan, anyway, he's.
Andy.
I'll forget that next time I mention Dane DeHaan's name.
Andy.
But yeah. So it was like, oh, hey, watch this. He just throws a car off a bridge. They're having fun. They're giggling. And then all of a sudden, he just throws a car off a bridge.
I don't think that was his intent, was to throw the car off. I don't think so. I mean, I think that that was an instance, and there was an instance later, where they really don't know, you know, what the limits to the powers are. They don't really take into account the terrible things that could happen when they do, you know, whatever. So, like when they're flying, like it seems like they.
We're not there yet.
Sure.
Give me a second.
Okay, fine.
So, because I still have a point on him throwing the car in
okay,
the water.
Which he did on accident.
So, okay, all yeah. right. You just threw a car in the water.
Sure.
So we're going to go down there, but let's make sure we keep filming. Got to keep filming this crime he committed where we possibly killed somebody.
What crime did he commit, Dave?
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
It's on tape. Boom.
That he moved his fingers and somebody died.
Yeah.
You prove that in a court.
Well, anyway, the two of them are trying to save him.
Right.
He's just there filming. Like, just filming away. Well, Michael B. Jordan's jumping in the water and... Just put the camera down. That's why I hate found footage movies, because you're in a situation, it's pouring rain, you're standing at a river, a lake or something, put the camera down. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I don't...
If it's going to be, it has to be all the time, you know what I mean? It can't be found footage sometimes, unless, you know, you can...
It can be, and that's what a lot of found footage movies don't, you can go back and forth. You really can. It's effective both ways. It's effective to go back and forth. If you're showing first footage, if you're showing first person when it makes sense to show first person, and then you cut out of it when you don't need to be there, that to me makes a lot more sense than having to ask, why are you still filming?
If you're going
to
cut out of it, why have it in the first place?
That's a bigger question, because would Chronicle be any different of a movie if it were told as a traditional narrative without the first-person angle? If you take out that angle, the whole camera angle, is this movie any different at all?
I mean...
No!
Here's the question.
No,
like,
not.
I don't think it would be better if you took it, but I think
I do.
You do, yeah. So, yes, the movie would be different if you didn't do it in the first person. So my answer is no. Your answer is yes. It would be different.
You could tell the same story, the exact same story.
Yes, you could, yeah.
Without the found footage style.
Right. I don't think you need the found footage, but because they sort of made the commitment to that's how we're going to do this movie, you're either in or you're out. You know, you're not half pregnant when it comes to found footage movies. You're in or you're out. And they were in.
So then they start flying.
Yeah.
I could keep going there. So they start flying. Michael B. Jordan's the first one to find out. Stuff looked okay. The flying stuff looked kind of cool.
It looked fun.
It was shot cool.
I think that kind of for the most part, I thought the progression from like, okay, we're just seeing the baseball stuff to now we're moving cars. I thought it kind of made sense. But then when they do the flying thing, it's like, okay, we just learned how to fly. And now they are miles in the air, which... If you're just learning how to do something.
Because the one couldn't even do it.
Yes.
Like, you go from a shot of the cousin tripping and falling every time he tries.
Matt.
And then them up in the air, and then him try again and fail. To the next shot, they're just up in heaven, flying around like crazy.
That seems dangerous. That seems like you're going from literally flying 1,500 to, like, the capstone course. And, of course, when they get up there, something bad happens and they are literally about to die because they really don't have full control of their powers. But I think that's kind of where the car thing comes into play, because they don't have full control. They really don't know what they're doing. They've got access to a lot of power, but they don't have the finesse. The cousin, Matt, says, you know, it makes when they're... Or no, maybe it's not Matt. I think it's Steve. When they're sitting on top of the building, about like he can't do the fine control. He tries to type his name, cracks his.
Yeah, that's a little bit that I have a note there. But
okay.
Before we get to
we'll get to it. But I mean, that's my point. Like it's they don't have a full grasp on things, and I sure as hell wouldn't be up with the planes if I didn't have a really good grasp on the flying concept.
There's a problem I had. I mentioned the first 5 minutes, the one kid's or first 10. The cousin spouts off philosophy in two different scenarios. And then now we're about half hour later, he hasn't spouted philosophy once. Even in their, you know, we have to have rules and stuff, at no point is he using any philosophical argument. It's almost like the smart kid, they just stopped writing him as a smart kid because he goes from this smart kid trying to try so hard to sound smart to just not even trying at all. But then what really drove it home is they're sitting around talking about, like, now they can fly, where they want to go. And Dane DeHaan says, I want to go to Tibet. And now the kid who was spouting off philosophy at the beginning of the movie thinks it's hilarious and wants to make fun of his cousin for wanting to go to Tibet.
He wants to make fun of his cousin for suggesting that they go to Tibet because seconds earlier, Steve said, let's go to Hawaii. And in fairness, like if you're a high school kid... I mean, a normal high school kid, I think you'd probably want to go to Hawaii, wouldn't you?
But not if you're, like, spouting philosophy and stuff. If you're this, like, too smart to party kid, you're not going to make fun of the idea.
He was pretending to be too smart to party. He was still at that party, which he was literally a poser, was all he was. He was doing the philosophy thing because he thought that's what was cool. That
was
his...
doing the philosophy thing in the car alone with his cousin.
Because that was his persona, was that I'm the philosophy guy. But deep down, he's not. He's the dude that likes the blonde chick. And there'd be plenty of blonde chicks in Hawaii. Not so much with Tibetan monks.
So that you mentioned the blonde chick. That's my next note.
Yeah.
So he shows up at her house. She's just filming for her blog. What is it? WatchMeOpenTheDoor.com? Or WatchMeOpenTheDoor.blogger.com? Like...
It's a found footage movie, Dave. You're either all in or you're all
out. Exactly. And that's what takes me out is when it makes no sense. Why are you just filming as you open the door? And why is he there? I didn't understand the point of that scene. Like,
he
was a dick at the party to her. And now I just don't.
He was trying to make up for it.
I just didn't get it.
He was saying, I listen to your blog. I do whatever. I visit moviesnotup.com and I like what you have to say on there. So here's me being super interested in things you're interested in and saying how much he digs her. And I think more or less that was just to kind of pass the baton over to after Dane DeHaan has his accident, like this is how we're going to do the found footage from here on out because this is a viable character.
Except she was 100% pointless. She served no purpose in the movie, except to extend the gimmick. That's
yes,
it.
Right. I'll
Which
give you
a
that.
Lame basis for a character. She brought nothing else. Their relationship went from he's a dick at the party to he shows up at her doorstep to now they're dating.
Yes.
There was no buildup. There was no emotional connection. There was nothing there. She was 100% pointless to his progression, to the progression of the story, to everything.
I'll give you that, yeah.
She's not in this movie, same movie.
They just have to come up with a different gimmick to extend to justify the...
And that's why is it found footage? Because you have to add stupid stuff to justify it.
I can't argue and tell you why. It's because I would like the movie the same that I like it now if it wasn't found footage. I don't like it because it is.
Yeah, I don't like it because it is found footage. Like, that's my biggest... I still think it's lazy. I think the characters were lazily written. And, I mean, you have... your female lead is just 100% pointless. Like, she doesn't need to be there. She
Saying female lead is... I mean, that...
That's the only really substantial female other than the mom.
Exactly. I mean, I might say maybe love interest, but I think female lead is kind of is not the term that I would use for that.
I mean,
character.
That's why I put it in air quotes.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only, your main female character is pointless. 100% not needed.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
And she's the love interest for essentially your C character. I mean, he becomes the B, but
I think you can make the argument that, you know, they're really between Steve and Matt. I don't know that there is necessarily a B or C, but it's obvious, you know, from the get go, that Dane DeHaan is the A. That's, you know, he's the guy that you see the point of view of through most of the movie. And I think that the other two are kind of the only characters that you really need to know in the movie. It's about them. It's about their relationships, them dealing with their powers.
Here's the only reason I give Steve kind of the B up until whatever happens, because
I think we can probably say it. Can't
we? Okay. We're just not there yet.
I see.
Steve, at least not only is he well acted, like he's really good in this movie. He is, but there's some progression of his character there. Like you know, he goes for this popular kid that doesn't really know Matt or whoever, Dane DeHaan. He doesn't know Matt, Dane DeHaan.
Andrew.
But then, like, they have this sleepover, and then now Steve is hanging out with Dane DeHaan by himself.
But like, that's really not a progression. We've said that Steve's a nice dude. He just didn't know Andrew. Now he's met him. Plus the fact that they are supermen now, so why wouldn't they hang out together?
But it develops that character a little bit more, because he does go from, you know, not knowing this guy when they went down the hole,
yeah,
to now he's hanging out on a rooftop with him, and then like to later he shows he genuinely cares about him. Like,
sure.
It's not just, oh, we're just friends because we have this. Like, you see Steve actually genuinely care about him, which I never really got from the cousin. Even at the end, like, a lot of it fell flat, and a lot of it is because the cousin I don't think was good at all.
No, he was the worst.
He was flat. He was very
Yes, he was
flat.
Terrible.
So was the script. The script was very, very, very flat.
There were parts that were bad, and I wrote a couple of them down, and unfortunately, I think for Dane DeHaan, because I think he's actually a really good actor, and I think that
I've liked him in what I've seen him in since this. I don't think he was particularly good in this.
I think he was, but there were just some clunkers that I don't know that, like the whole Apex Predator scene, I don't know how you could have delivered that. It was him sitting in front of the car, like giving the kind of soliloquy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could have, you know what I mean? Like, there are some.
And I think that falls on Trank. That comes to Trank, because
that's the writing, yeah.
That's the writing, and that's the framing and the direction. That scene is just, I see what you're going for, but it wasn't done well. It's one of those, we'll get to it because I have some other points on that. But here's where I talked about, I said we were going to get back to it. We established earlier that cousin was picking him up. Yeah. I don't know which one Matt is.
Matt is the one that we don't like. He's not Dane DeHaan.
He's
that's
the cousin.
Andy.
Okay.
Yes.
He's picking him up.
Cousin
it's established.
Matt.
He's picking him up. He wants him to go to a party.
Right.
But then Dane DeHaan and Michael B. Jordan are up on the rooftop, and he mentions something about, like, you know, I wasn't even hanging out with Matt much before this. You're driving to school with him every day.
That's not necessarily hanging out.
You're seeing him. To a point where he's asking you to go to a party with him and, like, insisting that you go to a party with him.
Maybe his parents insisted. You should spend more time with your cousin. He's a weird boy, and his mom's going to die. I could see a parent saying that, right?
Then we get to the talent show. I don't even want to talk about it, because it's just so... How long is that act?
It's kind of long.
They switch songs, and they're still doing stuff, and it's like they're not even doing... Okay, the card thing was cool.
Yeah.
But then, like... Are they taking a break to set up the tightrope? Because it's not there when they start.
Maybe when you have magical powers, maybe you can just stretch the tightrope and set it up really quickly.
That's more impressive than walking on the tightrope.
Yeah, probably.
Which the crowd was going nuts for. He's walking on a tightrope that's 3 feet off the ground. Whoa! That's it? That's what you're going to do with your power. You're going to walk on a tightrope.
There's probably only a certain amount of things you're actually going to be able to do in school.
magic. I just don't see magic as being able to turn this loser kid into like an instant rock star, even with the popular kid on his side. Because it's not just like, it's not like he just shows up to the party and people are like, oh, hey, cool, good job, man. Like, not that. It's, hey, he's here! Tightrope dude!
Tightrope dude, and I gotta admit, the card trick was pretty sweet.
The card trick was.
Like, that was pretty awesome.
The juggling was stupid. The tightrope was stupid.
Maybe there were some things that were cut out of that talent show that were even cooler. But, I mean, yeah, the card thing was pretty sweet. And if you had to sit through a talent show, and I have sat through middle school and high school talent shows, and they're awful. There's nothing except people singing Savage Garden and bands playing Matchbox 20 songs.
And no tightrope walking.
No, there was none. If somebody walked a tightrope, I'd have got
3 feet off the ground.
Yes, 3 feet, 2 feet, 6 inches off the ground. I would have shaken the hell out of their hand and saying, thank you for not making me sit through a choreographed dance to the Spice Girls. I appreciate it.
But then the girl shows up again. She's just pointless. Like, it's driven home again how pointless she is. So there's the party. He throws up on the chick as he's getting a blowy. It's not that bad of a thing. Like,
I think he was just nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to go on a limb and say he'd probably never kissed a girl before. He had probably never really had any interactions with girls before. And then because of his sick tightroping abilities.
Now pink hair wants to go down on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and he was drunk. I mean,
he
I don't.
Throws up.
I'm not sure that he's ever been drunk before, so there were a lot of firsts there for him. So
I mean, I'm fine with him throwing up on her. Like, that seemed natural, but just one scene I did like it was almost,
that's the only positive thing you've said about this movie is you liked it that he puked on the chick that was trying to blow him.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good story. That's a good,
but sure.
I did like this scene with the spider.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just follows it and picks it up and with
blows
his mind,
it apart.
Blows it apart. Yeah. It felt out of place. I understood.
I don't think it did.
I think I understood what they were trying to do with it, but to only have that. But this goes back to my next point is the mom and dad. You're kind of set up that his mom's sick. That's touched on a couple times, but not driven home to the point that we're just now mentioning it. Like, it doesn't feel like that big a part of the story. And the dad even kind of starts off as this big part of the story, but then kind of gets... I just don't feel the at-home stuff was driven home enough.
I mean,
I don't feel like you had the relationship between him and his mom, because there's a phase...
I think you did. There's a couple... I mean, there's a scene where they go out by themselves, and she's videotaping him. You know, he goes to see her before the talent show, and she says, you know, it's great that you're spending all this time with your friends. I mean, I think the mom and dad thing was, or the mom thing was set up fine.
Like, I think I think they tried, but I don't think they did enough. I don't think it was, or I just didn't buy it, or it just felt flat to me. Like, that's a lot of this movie is I see what they were doing. It just didn't hit for me, and it felt flat. And that's the mom and the dad relationship did. The dad was so cliche. I didn't like any of that. And then now he's flying up in a thunderstorm. Now they're connected. Like, Michael B. Jordan finds him. I heard he heard his voice.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things in this movie that you just kind of have to take for granted that never get explained, like how they got their powers to begin with, how they got out of the hole. There, I mean, and that is one of them. And it's essentially they use it, you know, this time with the storm, and then they use it at the end when the cousin gets the blood on the alien shirt, which just pissed me off because that was an awesome shirt. Hate to see it get ruined.
But this is probably the worst part of the movie.
Because the best part of the movie gets taken out.
Well, not just that, but Michael B. Jordan, it just felt like he came to play a different game. Like, it felt like he really is good in it. And Dane DeHaan was okay. He had good parts. And I felt like the scene with them flying, Dane DeHaan pissed off like he has no friends, even though he's been hanging out with these two dudes for so much. Now all of a sudden he's going back into the loner and Michael B. Jordan's pleading with him to come back down. Like, I just felt like it should have been more. It could have been better. It just fell flat to me. And again, I understand the point of that scene. I just don't think it delivered as well as it should have. And then I thought Michael B. Jordan's death was done horribly. It's mucky. Like, it's confusing kind of what happens.
It's kind of abrupt.
Yeah, which I'm fine with abrupt, but it just, it's sloppy. Go back to the them in the hole. Like, it just got sloppy. Like, it just felt like you knew what you wanted to do, but you didn't know how you wanted to do it. I felt like that scene should have been so much stronger, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think to do his character, you know, kind of justice, it maybe could have been more.
Because
it's almost
it
like
off,
he died off camera.
Yeah, and how it came off, it seemed like Steve was a disposable camera. Or
disposable character.
Character.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's essentially been your B character. So you're essentially killing off your B character as a disposable, you know, extra, almost. And then there's no...
I don't think it was a disposable thing. I mean, I think that maybe it came off that way. But I mean, I think if you start kind of looking at from the puke scene to the spider thing, there's kind of that progression where you start to... I kind of looked at it like the Darth Vader turn, where, you know, he went from being, you know, like an 8-year-old blonde kid to being a really whiny, dark-haired dude who's bad.
But then you don't see it. Like, I guess I just don't like that it just happens, and then it cuts the funeral. Like, there's no shot of Dane DeHaan right afterwards. Like, there's no shot of his immediate reaction. That whole scene just seemed horrible and rushed, and it just felt kind of wasted. And then it cuts straight to the funeral, which is at least 3 days later. Has he not been going to school? Like, I just... The whole time of this movie gets kind of confusing. Because
From
the time in the hole to the time we see him
with
the
new
camera, how long
yeah.
is that? Mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan says something about a couple weeks talking to this girl. Like, it just... The time was so messed up that I don't know how long this movie took place over. Because it wasn't really established. And for something where you're seeing every moment of their life, it should be set up a little better, because it's instantly going to feel like, oh, this is just one day to the next. When the camera goes black, I'm waking up in the morning
right.
the next day. But it wasn't. And that's another limitation of found footage, is that it's hard to get from point A to point B without just coming off rushed. And going from getting struck by lightning and doing it horribly to no reaction from Dane DeHaan and going straight to the funeral just felt sloppy. And it lacked any emotion.
I do agree. I think that they probably could have and should have done that better. But it was just another kind of device to make his character darker, to make Dane DeHaan's character darker. He essentially kills one of his best friends. So that's just him not necessarily being able to control things and not necessarily being that interested in controlling things.
But going back to the time thing is like, okay, it's been a few days, obviously, because the funeral's not the next day. Cousin is complaining that it's like, oh, you haven't been returning my calls. Well, are you still going to school? Like, aren't you in a position to see him? Did you stop coming to pick him up?
Like, I would assume, and I mean, the dad talks about that, like, oh, Matt's not here picking you up anymore. Think about that. I mean, if I had a guy that was picking me up to go to school every morning, and then I found out I could fly, what the hell am I going to get in a car for?
No, I understand that, but...
If that's the only time they're really hanging out, when they weren't doing powery stuff,
Then he's just starting to lose it in school, and he rips a dude's teeth out in the hallway. Like, hey, and he just points his finger at him, and his mouth starts bleeding.
That seems a weird thing to do.
I understand. I don't mind that he did that. I don't like that he did it in a group. There were tons of kids in the hallway, and nothing comes of it. Like, it's like nobody says, like, hey, I don't like that dude's bleeding. Like, maybe I didn't see it. He must have gotten closer than but nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should have done it more to make it look like it was an accident. You know, it could be clear he did it on purpose, but
or get close enough to make it look like he punched him,
yeah.
not do it from 15 feet
yeah,
away.
Yeah, that seemed strange.
Because people are going to question it.
Yeah, that I didn't much care for. But then again, you know, when he's sitting in the stall talking about, it's because I kind of did the lasso thing, got it, the root and all. I think there again, it just shows that he's gone to the dark side, so to speak.
Yeah, so then Cousin shows up. You know what happens if we break the rules.
Matt.
No, we don't. You said that there were rules, but at no point was it established
that there would be consequences for such rules.
And what are the consequences?
Infractions.
You
a 10-yard penalty, loss of down.
You have the same powers. Like, So that was just dumb. That's when they try to start spouting off the cousin, who, to be worth, has been worthless this whole movie. That's why I put him behind Steve, because at least Steve was up there doing something, where cousin was off talking to blonde girl with her boring, stupid answer the door blog. So now he's trying to be like this hero and talking about consequences that you never talked about.
I think he was the first one to jump in the water after the car went off the road.
Steve went right in.
Okay, but he called 911.
Steve lifted the water up and ran in.
He called 911. Like, he was seemed to be sort of, you know, having his head on straight about it. You know, said that we can't do this on living things, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, there was at least some kind of moral code that he wanted to impose on these things. And yeah, maybe he never thought that it would get to the point that it did. So there wasn't like, if you kill somebody, we're going to sit you in your room for an hour. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
so he goes nuts. He puts on a fireman outfit.
And he goes nuts to get his
money
mom money.
His mom.
Right.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I understand the motivation behind the crime spree. And I thought when he holds up the drug dealers, that was kind of cool.
That was
kind of a cool fight.
That part was cool. Just him in the fireman costume. I liked that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because the stuff with the bullies who have messed with them in the past,
right,
that was kind of cool. Even the convenience store was kind of cool, and then he catches on fire. But then it cuts to the hospital.
Yeah, there again, like him not having full control. And every time he tries to do something, something terrible happens. You know what I mean? Because you just don't think about the consequences.
And then while he's there, his mom dies.
Right.
So another like major key to the story happening off screen.
But I mean, the mom dying. And
she's not getting her medicine until tomorrow regardless. Even if he gets the money, they still have to order it.
I'm guessing she had cancer, and that was like pain management medicine. I think the fact that she died, you know, was not because she didn't get her medicine. But I think that having her do it off screen, you don't know that she's dead. So you find out when the dad tells him. And when he first gets to the hospital, you don't imagine, you know, he's clearly upset, but you don't imagine that you think it's because his son just got burned. Maybe the dad's going to say something to him like, hey, you know, I realize I've been a dick, but, you know, he's going to be redeemed as a kid, but he's not. He's like, you're a jerk.
I had a problem with that because there's a large part during the beginning of the movie where I honestly didn't know if the mom and dad lived in the same house. I didn't know if he was leaving the dad's house to go see the mom. Because there was nothing set up that this is the same house, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
was,
you never see the dad and mom together.
And the dad never mentions the mom. So it's like,
when he's on the phone talking about
later
getting, I mean, that's not later when he's talking about how he can't afford to get the medicine.
Yeah.
That's relatively early.
This is where timing's weird to me, because he went out, he beat up some drug dealers. He robbed a convenience store. He's in the hospital. His dad was out looking for him late, and then the mom died while he was gone. So it feels late at night. Like,
yes,
it feels later in the evening. But yet, cousin is at a little kid's birthday party. Apparently, his girlfriend's family, his girlfriend that 2 scenes ago, they hated each other. Like, again, that just all felt rushed.
Maybe it took a long time for his cousin to drive to Seattle. Who knows?
So then it's like, oh, I need to go. He's in trouble. He's going to cause... No, go ahead, get in the car with me. It's fine. Nothing will come of this.
He didn't say, get in the car with me. He said, I need to borrow your car.
He didn't stop her.
Well, he couldn't stop her because she had the camera.
He's got magic powers.
She had the camera. And how the hell are we going to know what happened?
And why is she filming this whole thing? Oh, my God, there's a big family emergency.
She's got a blog.
I better be filming.
She's
got to
have content.
My boyfriend is in this life or death situation.
Every time we talk, we have to record it because we need content. She did the same thing. Don't judge.
But here's my problem, this is more of a me thing. To make the turn complete, I feel like the dad had to die. Like, I feel like he had to finish killing the dad in order to make the turn 100% complete. I understand what they were trying to do with him, with the cousin catching him, and like he's mad about that, but I feel like it was so directed at the dad that Plus, why'd he wait? Like, wouldn't he throw the dad out, like, right away? Not wait for cousin to show up from his birthday party?
Well, yeah, but I guess he wasn't expecting the cousin to be out there.
I just, it felt like...
And, I mean, he did, if you want to make a semantical argument, he did kill his dad. He dropped him. His dad was going, there was nothing...
Yeah, but he didn't die.
No, he did.
I feel like that, to complete that arc, to complete that turn, the dad needs to die. Because also you have your hero saving kind
a guy
of
who's
villain.
A scumbag,
yeah.
Right?
So I mean,
but he made the choice. Like he chose to drop his dad, knowing that his dad was going to die. Like he took that step to willingly kill somebody. It just so happened that he got foiled. But
and then he has all this power. So instead of going down and trying to get his dad again to finish the job, he starts flying all over Seattle, throwing buses and cars around.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so focused on your dad, why aren't you just finishing it?
The end of the movie, I really have...
It gets sloppy.
Yes, I have trouble trying to stick up for. I mean, I like really up into the point... You know, up until the point where Steve dies, I think it's actually a really good movie. I like it quite a bit. Then things start to get questionable. But, you know, everything after the hospital, I really don't have a justification for. I don't particularly like it.
There's this crowd of people.
It seems like a Michael Bay movie.
There's this giant crowd of people. Suddenly this kid just jumps up and flies, grabs a dude, comes down and lands, then gets in his Volkswagen Beetle and drives off. That, no, kind of losing me there. Why are you getting back? Okay, he just threw his dad out the window. He's throwing cars all around. So you're going to get in your girlfriend's car with your girlfriend. What?
And I could have understood where if that kind of put her in a position where, you know, for the rest of their confrontation.
She was damsel in distress?
Right, but
no, because
she wasn't.
Then she would have served a purpose.
I understand. That's why I'm saying I can't really justify what they did. But it seemed like they were going somewhere, and I was okay with it. And then when it was just like, all right, I'm going to save her in 2 minutes, and then we're going to abandon and go to the news footage, that makes sense. But I still thought that it did seem ridiculous, and at that point it seemed like a Transformers movie where they were just rampaging through the city.
Because then he goes through and he's doing the stuff. I wish the statue would have been referenced earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I wish at some point... You knew. I wish that statue had come into play at some point. Just because to just see it there, it's just randomly convenient.
If him and the girlfriend would have just gone there and videotaped for her travel blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just randomly show up in front of a statue that has a spear. Lazy.
Right.
Like, reference it earlier. And then there's the scene between the two of them where he's yelling at him. There just was no power there. There was no emotion. Like... He needed to die. Like, that wasn't one of DeHaan's strongest moments.
No, but there again, I think that in a lot of those cases, it comes down to writing. You know what I mean? If you don't have something impactful written for you to say,
No, and that's, I've criticized the writing more than the acting.
Sure.
Because, and I think that's my biggest problems overall with this movie is that I love a hero. I love a superhero movie. I love... You know, the idea of telling a superhero origin story through the supervillain origin story, I love.
Yeah.
Love that idea, but it just fell flat. The found footage took me out of it. I just didn't like anything about the movie, save for a couple scenes and Michael B. Jordan. So, I mean, there's so much potential. And then to see that Josh Trank got so many, like, job offers after this and Max Landis got so many job offers, it's like, for what? This wasn't, it made money. It wasn't well written. It was poorly written.
But it was a good idea.
It wasn't spectacularly directed. Like, he did some cool stuff, but overall, like, he didn't maximize what he had.
I think you can see potential in the director in the same way you could see potential in Michael B. Jordan. I think there are a lot of things about this movie that could have been done better, should have been done better, and if it was done by a more seasoned director and more seasoned writers, it would have been better.
I felt a lot of Zack Snyder in it, because it looked good, but the parts that needed to have emotion lacked all emotion. I don't think there was any emotional impact at any point in this movie. And when he's going back to the end, before we wrap it up, like, okay, so we stand in front of this statue holding a spear conveniently. Okay, so news footage is on him. Who's filming the close-ups of cousin as he debates this? You talk about wanting to not be taken out of it.
Maybe it's the news.
Who's filming the close-ups of this cousin that was flying around with
or
him?
Another documentary filmmaker.
And I would have written some stuff differently. Like, the dad should have died. But when they're having that dialogue that, you know, he should have died, blah, blah, blah. At no point does Dane DeHaan seem like there's anything left there of that character. Like, he seems like he's completely turned.
Yes.
So I feel like if there was just one thing in that exchange that made the cousin feel like there might be something left of his loner cousin, that would have made that last throwing the spear through his chest would have made it that much more impactful. But he saw that he was so gone, and yet he's still conflicted, and it's just like, I just felt like there needed to be one thing to make you think that maybe there is still some Dane DeHaan in there. And because there wasn't, I really didn't care. Like, just do it. Just do what you're going to do and end it. Like, it's already too far gone. You've tried to warn him a couple times. Just do it. And so then he dies, and I felt like it wasn't as emotional as it should have been. And then he just flies off.
Yeah, that did kind of just seem strange, where there is really...
Anticlimactic is another word?
Sort of, yeah. Obviously, like, he cares about Ashley Henshaw so much that after saving her, he will just disappear forever.
Yeah, and that's another thing that goes back to her being pointless. He goes to Tibet. He films something, talking. Is he talking to Ashley Henshaw?
No.
Nope! Talking to his dead cousin.
Yep.
So, like, she serves no purpose. He flies away, he's moved on. He's done. Like... She served zero purpose in this movie.
Maybe he flies away at the end. Maybe he flew back with his mountain climber gear.
She would have been filming
gear.
It, though. So.
Probably.
I just...
Chronicle 2. Telekinesis Boogaloo.
I wouldn't be against Chronicle 2 if it's not found footage.
Because
honestly, like, what I see here at Chronicle is I see the basis of a good movie. I see on paper... an awesome movie that I'm really, really into. And I think that's why I get so angry, because everything about this movie I should like. I should love it. But I
feel
like...
The found footage is a problem for you. And it's a problem
that,
for you in several movies.
Yeah,
I think
but
it's
it
just
also,
a bigger problem than this, because you seem like you kind of do want to like it.
I wanted to love it.
But the found footage is just such a hurdle for you. It's kind of...
Not just
difficult
for me,
to see through it.
It's not just a hurdle for me. It's a hurdle for the screenwriter, because there were some lazy parts written to accommodate for the camera. So, I mean, it's not just... I don't just hate found footage because of how it looks. I hate it because it's stupid to write for. Because you have to do stuff as a writer that you don't need to do. But you have to do this gimmick. And that's all it was for this movie, was a gimmick.
Yeah, it was. It didn't need to be. It did not
like
need
I said,
to be a
like
found footage.
Paranormal
movie.
Activity, you take the first one and you take it not found footage, it's kind of a different movie. It turns into Insidious.
It doesn't work.
It takes away what made Paranormal Activity Paranormal Activity.
Right.
Same with Blair Witch. You take away the found footage aspect, it's not the same movie. Chronicle, you can tell the exact same story without being found footage, and it doesn't lose anything.
Right.
The found footage added nothing to it. It took away more than it added.
I think it'd be interesting to hear from him. You know, like, hey, if you had a chance to do it again, would you redo Chronicle and not make it?
It made money and led to his career, so.
Well, what I'm saying is, would you do it differently and not make it a found footage movie? You know, because I don't think that's what made it successful.
Because that's the same with Cloverfield. I like the idea of Cloverfield, but I hate Cloverfield. I mean, it's for a lot of the same reasons.
Right.
But
and yeah. Could that movie not have been found footage? Yeah, and it would have been called Godzilla.
Absolutely, yeah. So yeah, that's our... I think we talked a lot about Chronicle.
Yeah, we went pretty deep.
No list on this one, because I just... I don't know. If you disagree, email us. Tyler, I know you love the movie, and you've asked me before why I don't like it. I hope I laid
For
it out
well. For the past hour, Dave's told you why he doesn't
like
it.
Yeah, so we kind of went off, but... On a better note, we're going to go out of here. We like to do a bonus watch this for the discussion episodes. This time we're going to do a found footage movie that isn't The Blair Witch Project.
I put two down, not because I can't choose, but because I was like, well, let me just see how things are going, and I'll pick between the two, whichever one I want to use. And I'm going to go with the second choice because you had kind of mentioned Blair Witch is being the godfather of found footage. And it really kind of is. I mean, that's the one that made...
It wasn't the first one.
Right.
But it was the first relevant one.
Sure. But, you know, there was an earlier one that I don't think is necessarily... It's not a great movie.
It's a terrible movie.
A lot of people hate it, and I understand why. Yeah, exactly. It was Cannibal Holocaust. I forget exactly the year it came out, but I know I've mentioned this movie before, but it was kind of like half fake documentary and the other half is found footage. And the reason, like, the found footage aspect works well in this movie because of the way they set it up. It makes sense for that to be a found footage movie. It's not great, but...
And then your other one, Troll Hunter. It's justifiable in that one.
Yeah. And I like Troll Hunter. I think that's kind of a fun movie. Swedish, I think, right?
Yeah. Mine, not a fun movie. The Bay. The Bay took a different approach. It's not just one person filming. It's like a new. It's like a documentary. Like you're watching, there's news footage, there's security cam footage, there's webcam footage. There's a lot of different footages there. And it's just a really creepy movie. And for this, it does add to it because it feels real. It's like a monster-y type movie with a monster that feels like it could actually happen, and because of how it's done, it's different. So The Bay, I thought, was actually really good.
So we got two that are good, one that's...
And Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, one that's really not, but you kind of... I feel like you kind of have to see it at some point, if you can stomach it, if you can get through it.
So that was our discussion episode for this week. If you're new to Movies on Up, we do a news episode early in the week. We do a discussion episode later in the week. Next week, we're going to do Iron Man 3. We realize it's a couple weeks later, but we wanted people to see it because we want to spoil the hell out of it.
And we're going to. So if you haven't seen Iron Man 3, don't listen to our discussion episode. You will be angry at us. But yeah, it'll be up there for perpetuity. Check it out when you have seen it.
But give us your thoughts on Chronicle. Hit us up, moviesonup.com, at moviesonup on Twitter, facebook.com/moviesonup. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can find the show at any of those places or at iTunes or Stitcher. You can find me at Dave Bissella on Twitter, ericanddave.com. That's my other show, Eric with a K, if you want to hear me talk nonsense. Anything else for you, Ryan?
No, I would like to get some feedback on Chronicle just to kind of check the pulse of our listenership. Just, I mean, you don't need to, just as simple, liked it, didn't like it. That would be enough because I'm curious. I mean, I think as of right now, the official Movies on Up opinion is kind of split. I think our unofficial third member, Tyler, likes it. So that makes Tyler and I right. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the,
listenership. I don't like it.
Oh, wait.
That's
what?
My official vote.
Okay.
I'm not on.
All right. Cause I had you penciled down for hated it. So yeah, just let us know what you think on Chronicle and get us your thoughts on Iron Man. We'll definitely take some listener feedback, and probably if we get it in time, you know, we'll read it when we do our Iron Man episode coming up next week. But in the meantime, check out Movies on Up for all things Movies on Up, new blog posts.
Until then, keep it up.